Hello and welcome to Boring Beige Box, the weekly podcast about retro computing. I'm your host, Matt Wilson. If you like to hack away at your autoexec.bat or config.sys files just so you can play King's Quest or Ultima, you're at the right place. From 2400 baud modems to IBM PS1s, to Monkey Island 2, to the Sierra Network, we cover it all if it happened in the 80s and 90s. So clean out that garage, pull out that old boring beige box, and let's have some fun. Hello and welcome to show number 10 for Tuesday, July 4th, 2006. Today's topic is Computer Games Part 2. I'd like to welcome everyone to the show. It's July 4th, 4th of July. Happy Independence Day, everyone. You might hear a little bit of fireworks going off in the background. I am trying to get the show out, even though it is July 4th. So you might hear some stuff going off, but anyway, just want to wish everyone a happy 4th of July. If you're in the States, I know I have a couple of international listeners, so if you guys are listening, you probably know what July 4th is. It's pretty crazy around here. The neighborhood I live in, there are tons of fireworks going off, and it's always very hard to get to sleep at night on the 4th of July because people are shooting off fireworks late into the evening. So anyway, it's been a really great day. I have been on vacation the past week. My parents live in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, which is a great resort town, and that is where I was all last week. I also visited my wife's parents. They live in Tennessee, right near Gatlinburg, and we got to go to Dollywood, and that was a lot of fun. So pretty much I spent all of last week on the beach and visiting relatives. But I'm going to try to get back on track now with releasing the show every weekend. I have been behind a little bit, so thanks for being patient with me, guys. The summer months can be kind of crazy. First off, I'd like to take a look at some emails. I've got a couple emails over the past week or so. Around the 26th of June, I got an email from Jan Lund Thompson. I don't know if that's how you pronounce his name, but I think it's Jan, or it could be Jan. I'm not sure, but he does the C64 Takeaway podcast. Now, I haven't looked. I might have looked into this podcast. I want to look into it, but I believe he does a lot with music that is created by the Commodore 64. And there's a whole Commodore 64 scene, especially in the music area. If you listen to the Retro Bits podcast by Earl Evans, which I highly recommend, you can check out his podcast at retrobits.com. He talks a lot about Commodore 64 and the music scene and what people are doing with some of the 8-bit machines in creating music. So Jan, or it could be Jan, wrote in. He mentioned the last show I talked about RPGs and adventure games started with the PC. Now, I said that, but I kind of meant that, he says that there were a lot of good games on the 8-bit computers, and I kind of meant all, when I said PCs, I meant all computers, but, you know, there's a big difference between the 8-bit, early 8-bit machines and your modern-day PCs. But he is right. There were a lot of great RPGs on the 8-bit systems, like the Commodore 64 and other systems. My big recollections with RPGs and adventure games, obviously, was from the late 80s, early to mid 90s on your typical PC. A lot of them were like Ultima 7 was one of the first ones I started with. Also, he mentioned that his favorite RPGs were from Interplay. If you remember Interplay, his two favorites were Wasteland and Neuromancer. and that was on the Commodore 64. Because I had mentioned Bard's Tale, which was by Interplay, and I like that one a lot. I played that a little bit growing up. He also mentions that, and I'd forgotten about this, the Lucasfilms games and the LucasArts games, a lot of them came out on the Commodore 64 and Amiga platform. But my recollections or my experience were mainly on the PC platform. Also, he says, at any rate, keep up the good work with your podcast. Thank you so much. I jumped on the PC wagon with a 486DX33 around 1992 or so, and your show takes me back to tweaking QEMM settings. Remember that? The memory manager program. Adjusting jumpers and wishing I had a DX266 like the guy next door whose beige box ran Quarantine better than mine. So, yeah, there were good times. I definitely always wanted something better. There were so many different variations of the 486 chips. There was always something faster. So anyway, thanks so much for writing in. Also, Winston wrote in mentioning thanking me for mentioning his email about scanning pages from PC Magazine. And I definitely thank you so much, Winston, for scanning the article about that mentioned the term boring beige box. But definitely, you know, keep sending stuff in. He also mentioned a link, and I knew about this website. It's called The Underdogs. It reviews and talks about old PC games. And there are some that have been released to the public are downloadable. The address is www.the-underdogs.info. That's a hyphen in between the and underdogs. So the-underdogs.info. That's a great site. Check it out. There's a lot of great stuff in there. Winston mentioned that they have box shots a lot of the games and also PDFs of the manual, which is very, very cool. So anyway, thanks so much, Winston, for writing in. And that's about it for email. The forums have been, you know, not too active, but I have been getting a lot of I think I figured out how to do this, but a lot of fake accounts. I think they're just spammers trying to sign up for accounts. And I enabled a security feature where you have to type in the encrypted text, or there's a security image that you have to type in. You've probably seen this before. So if you're signing up for the podcast, just follow along to register, and then you should be able to post. I'm also having it email me to approve the account. So if you sign up on the forums, just wait patiently, and I check my email pretty often, and I can activate your account for you, just for security measure. That's our forums are located at forums.boringbeigebox.com. Our main website is www.boringbeigebox.com. And there's a link on there that says podcast info. And when you click on that, you can download the past shows that we've done. And you can also, there's a couple different things on the website. The forums is pretty much where everyone goes. I would definitely register, post on there, just give a shout out, say hello, let me know you're listening and enjoying the show. You can also email me at podcast@boringbeigebox.com. That's podcast@boringbeigebox.com. Just drop me a line and tell me how things are and if you like the show. The stats for the show, I've been kind of monitoring that, and it looks like we have over 100 average people listening to the show, which is great. I just haven't heard from everyone, so I would just appreciate an email to let me know how, you know, what you like about the show. But it looks like we've got, you know, a good amount of listeners. The downloads, it looks like the downloads for the file are averaging every week around 160 to 175 downloads every week, which is incredible, which is just amazing to me. So it says an average of 125 listeners, but it's probably a little less than that. So I'm saying somewhere between 100 to 125 listeners. So anyway, thank you so much for listening to the show. All right, let's get on to the main topic. this topic is computer games part two, with basically a focus or subtitle of massively multiplayer online role-playing games. Yes, that's a mouthful. The acronym for that is MMORPG. You've probably heard that a lot recently. It's become very popular, especially with the largest MMORPG right now, World of Warcraft. But let's go back a little bit, and I want to reminisce and get your memories stirring about a earlier time, and if you were involved in some of these online role-playing games back in the early days, you'll have some fond memories about these online role-playing games. They date back to the late 70s with MUDs, multi-user dungeons, also multi-user dimensions, some people may call them. But these MUDs were text-based online role-playing games that you could play, where you could log in and create a character. They were fantasy-based, sci-fi-based. There was multiple different themes. There was a man by the name of Richard Bartle, which created the first MUD. And he actually has written a book that I have read parts of it. It's called Designing Virtual Worlds. I would check that out. Richard Bartle is the guy's name. So he's the one that started them, MUDs, in the late 70s, back actually around 1978. So a lot of these games, these text-based games, they're still around today. MUDs are still, you know, going strong today. There's a good website that lists a lot of MUDs out there. I believe it's called MUD Connector. I'm going to look it right up right now. Yeah, mudconnect.com. That's www.mudconnect.com. And right currently there's 1,772 MUDs listed, so they're still out there. I used to play a MUD called Bat MUD, that's B-A-T-M-U-D, back when I was in college in the 90s. It was late 90s. It had been around for years and years, but I started playing it around 97 with a lot of friends, and I really liked it. Now, there were a lot of other games out before that, but I'll get into that. So basically, they were formed and started based on Dungeons and Dragons and, you know, different games like that. A lot of, there's variations, and I would just, if you go to Wikipedia, go online and look up MUDs, you can see kind of the history. There's a lot of different branches from MUDs. There's some called Mushes or Moos, and there's just all different kinds. Now, the cool thing I like about MUDs are there's so much detail to them, and they're about anything you can think about. There's Buffy the Vampire Slayer MUDs, you know, there's Star Trek MUDs, there's Lord of the Rings MUDs, there's anything you can think of. You know, if you have the time and the inclination to create all of the material for something based on a world that you like, you can create it, or it's already out there. You know, the big budget games like EverQuest or World of Warcraft, those are very specific to a certain world that they've created. But if you want to play in the world of, you know, Star Trek or something, there it's there. I mean, they have all kinds. There's Star Wars, there's, you know, Transformers theme, you know, Wheel of Time. By Robert Jordan. I mean, there's Magic the Gathering MUDs. I mean, X-Files. I mean, I didn't even know there were X-Files. This is awesome. I'm looking at it right now. So, I mean, you know, there's so much out there. So, I really haven't gotten to the Star Trek MUDs. I like Star Trek a whole lot, but most of them are Mushes, which are a little bit, you don't really fight things. I mean, Mush, you like create things and there's interaction. It's very, very different. So anyway, if you want to get into MUDs, I would definitely check it out. They're a lot of fun, but, you know, you definitely have to use your imagination because it's all text-based. So basically, kind of the way it went after the MUDs, there was some different, you know, multiplayer games. There was one called Islands of Kesmai. I think that's how you pronounce it, in the mid-80s. Club Carib, which was first released as Habitat, which was actually created by LucasArts for Q-Link for the Commodore 64 computers in 1988, was one of the first graphical interactive environment where you had avatars and stuff. Now, according to Wikipedia, if you do a search for MMORPG, they have a great article about MMORPGs. But the one, and I agree with this, it says that the first graphical, this is the one that I have experience with, I remember playing for hours on end, first graphical MMORPG was Neverwinter Nights. Now, this is not the current Neverwinter Nights that was done by BioWare. This was the original Neverwinter Nights that was done by SSI for America Online. it went live in 1991 and ran through 97. Now, I used to play Neverwinter Nights on AOL. It was incredible. I mean, for me, I mean, the graphics were horrible, the gameplay sucked, but to play with other people was the coolest thing in the world, and I used to play it all the time. The coolest thing was you downloaded the game client, and it ran pretty much like separately, but it used AOL as a connection. So people were always trying to get on to play. At some point, it was costing $6 per hour to play. I mean, it was nuts. And the servers could only hold about 500 people, and it was always crowded. I mean, you never could get in. It was very tough. You'd have to play at off times and stuff. So Neverwinter Nights was incredible. I really enjoyed that. That was one of the first ones. Then the next one I had experience with was The Shadow of Eusebius, which I believe I've talked about before. It was a part of the Sierra Network, which is an online service. It ran from 1992 through 96. It then became Imagination Network. But Shadow of Eusebius, and then it had a couple different sequels to it, was something I remember using Sierra Network, and it did not exist. And there was no, up in the right top right hand corner, there was no Medieval Land yet. But I remember seeing advertisements that this was coming. Medieval Land was what it was called. They had different lands within Sierra Network. And it came in Shadows of Eusebius. It was amazing. I mean, you could play, it was just like playing a regular desktop, PC game, a modern day PC game with fairly good graphics. You know, it was first person. You'd go through different mazes, you'd go through the different dungeons and stuff. But you had your character. You built the level. You went up in level. You killed monsters. You did all that stuff. I mean, you got good equipment, and you were playing with other people. It was incredible. It was the greatest thing I could ever imagine. I never really got into Dungeons and Dragons when I was a kid. I grew up in a pretty strong Christian home, and my parents pretty much looked down upon it. And I feel that there are bad things about it, and if for young people, if it overtakes their lives, I think that it can just control them too much, and it's just all they focus on, and they're not well rounded. So I think it was kind of good that I stayed away from it, because of my parents and stuff. But for me, I was into computer role playing games, and that is pretty much a single player activity, a single person activity. But once you have that online feature and you're playing with other people, if you feel you have more of that community. And this was back in 92, 93, and even to this day, I play World of Warcraft, which is basically the same idea. You're playing online with other people, and it's a lot of fun. So, but at the time, Shadow of Eusebius, I mean, it was the beginning. It was the early days of MMORPGs. It was an hourly service now, but there was an unlimited service for $120 per month. That's insane. I can't believe that people paid that when I think. And if you go over your monthly time, you pay by the hour, and it was nuts. So pretty much after that, that was kind of the online service games. Then they moved into a different era where it was just single games that could connect to the servers. This started with Meridian 59 by 3DO. I also played Meridian 59. It was a lot of fun. The graphics were horrible. But you were moving. It felt like a 3D space. You had a screen, you were moving through it, you were fighting monsters, you were doing everything. It's the same idea, but it felt 3D. It says it was 3D, but it really felt like you're moving. It was almost like Doom. You're moving through a 2D world, but it feels like it's 3D. So But it was really the first, you know, supposedly 3D engine for a for an online role playing game. Meridian 59 was the forerunner. It was 1996 when it came out. It really began everything. And it ended up dying out after a while because of the graphics, but it was resurrected by this group of people, and it's still going today. They resurrected it, and they charge for it still, and people still play it. So it's pretty amazing that it's still going on. There was also one called The Realm Online, which I actually have never played, but it was by Sierra. And it felt like it's. I always thought it looked like King's Quest VIII or VII. King's Quest VII, I'm sorry, which was not really popular, but a lot of people played that and were into the Realm Online. Next, in 1997, came Ultima Online. Now, for me, that was it. That was where the addiction started. Ultima Online was huge. I remember all my friends playing it. It was when I was in college, and everyone I worked with, they got Ultima Online. Like, I was in the beta test. I have my original CD from being accepted to the beta test that only had about 1,500 people. I mean, I was into it hardcore. I played Ultima Online for so many hours. I mean, I loved Ultima Online because it was a lot like Ultima 7. It had that same kind of top-down approach, the different features, the world you could interact with. It was great. There's so much you could do with Ultima Online. And it started off really, really great, but most of you know over time, in the beginning, there was a lot of people that would gang up together and kill newbies, and it, you know, that's the whole PK thing. Player killing started. You're sitting there mining away in a mine, and you get ganked by somebody, you know, some 15-year-old kid that's running around just loving to kill people. Now, I like to do it too. I like to. I'll be honest. I like to gank people and get them while they're not, you know, expecting it. I mean, it's fun. I mean, you get a thrill. After a while, it gets boring, obviously, but, and, you know, people get ticked, but I got it too. I mean, it was a player versus player type of game, and in the beginning, Ultima Online was pretty hardcore. It turned off a lot of people, but for the people that really like to be pretty wild and crazy in the game, it was a lot of fun. It's changed over time. I mean, it's amazing. Ultima Online is still going on. It's over. It's coming up on its 10th anniversary, and it's still going. It's probably the longest-running MMORPG out there, and tons of people still play it, and it's still going strong. I can't stand it anymore. I tried, I think, about a year ago, and it's so tedious, and the client, like, it's just so crappy. I mean, it's really, really old game. It's really, really showing its age. So, anyway, but it started it. It started the whole MMORPG craze for me. So the other ones, there was a couple different ones going on at the time, but, you know, I played Ultima Online up until the next big one that even more strengthened and furthered the addiction with MMORPGs was in 1999, EverQuest. The largest at that time, MMORPG. For me, EverQuest was, I would say, the best experience I ever had with, for one, a role-playing game, a computer role-playing game, and also a online role-playing game. But the other thing is that it was 3D. It was truly 3D. And you felt like you were in that world. I mean, I know it's sick, and the addiction part of it is really, really bad, but the experience of staying up really, really late at night or playing hours on end and being in that world and going through the things of waiting with a group of players for a certain monster to appear or to finish a certain dungeon or finish a certain quest or do different things or defeat certain, you know, high-level bosses or monsters or whatever you want to call them. I mean, that experience is just incredible. To feel like you live in that world when you walk to different cities or walk to different places and you hear the music and you see it for the first time is just the coolest thing. I mean, there was one area that when I started with EverQuest, I remember starting a, I had a barbarian, and I started in the barbarian area. I forget kind of what it's called, but Hollis, I think, was the name of the town. And just the whole, at Everfrost, that was the area that you start in. It was very magical. I mean, I know it sounds cheesy and stuff, but you really felt like you were a part of this town, a part of the area, going out, questing, going back to the NPCs and selling your items or getting new items, and all the people around you and grouping up, say, hey, let's go here. And I mean, like, it was so, like, in the you only can experience that stuff once, because everyone that you're with are also, they're experiencing it for the first time. So I remember there was a group of people that we used to have something called Friday Night Fights, and we would have, you could duel each other. And there was an area near these igloos in Everfrost, that area, where we would always get together and duel each other. And we're like low levels. We're like level 10 or level, you know, level 5 to 15. And we would just joke around, and I would take all these screenshots, and I mean, it was awesome. And you could zoom in and get close-ups of people, and you got this whole Arctic world like around you in the background. I mean, it was just an incredible first-time experience. And even after that part, I remember going into the first dungeon, which was Blackborough, where all these gnolls were running around, and it was chaotic. And there was always, in the MMORPG world, there's something called a train, which is terminology of if a character runs around and a bunch of monsters latch onto him, or, you know, they all start, one of them attacks, and then another creature sees that other creature is attacking you, then they all start gathering together. And so a person can run around. When they start running, they get this huge long train of like 10 monsters all following them. And so if he's coming towards the area where you zone out, like you can get to a point, like an area, if you cross this imaginary line, the screen stops and freezes and loads to the next area or the next zone in the game. So a person would, like, if someone yelled train, you know, in the chat window, that means that someone had gotten a hold of a bunch of monsters and they were running towards the zone line, which everyone would sit and congregate there in case they got into trouble. They would zone out real fast because the monsters couldn't cross the zone line. So that in Blackborough was an area where there was always trains, and it was chaotic. But there was tons of people in there. There were always, you know, you could group together with other people and kill a bunch, you know, of creatures and stuff and gain experience. And, you know, with EverQuest, it was, in all of MMORPGs, it's all about gaining levels, you know, getting experience to get to the next level so you can have more hit points, you can have better skills, you can get better equipment, you can make more money. It was just a never-ending cycle. So that's why they sometimes called it EverCrack, or, you know, NeverQuest, and, you know, or never-ending quest, you know, or, well, EverQuest. That's, you know, think about it, EverQuest. You're always questing. It's nonstop. So anyway, a lot of great fun. The whole world, all the different zones. I love going to all the different places, riding on boats to go across the ocean to the other continents. I mean, it was incredible. I really loved EverQuest. I played EverQuest for, I would say, like 5 years, 5 or 6 years. It was a long time. But I ended up stopping when I really got into World of Warcraft. There's a couple others I tried in between there, but EverQuest was it. It was really good. And it has like almost 10 expansion packs now. I mean, it's lost a lot of numbers, though. A lot of people have dropped off and quit because of World of Warcraft and other, all the second generation MMORPGs. But, you know, people still play it. So it's still got a large following. Now, this is getting into the late 90s, and this is a little bit past the time that I want to focus on. But there's just a couple others that are worth mentioning. Asheron's Call, which was by Microsoft and another organization, which I can't think of right now. It might have been Turbine, but anyway. I played that for a while. That was pretty good. That was the big three in the 90s or late 90s, Ultima Online, EverQuest, and Asheron's Call. After that, there was a lot. There was Dark Age of Camelot, which I played, Anarchy Online, which I was big into, which is pretty good, Final Fantasy XI, Eve Online, Lineage 2, Ragnarok Online. There's all kinds. Star Wars Galaxies, if you remember that. EverQuest 2, now there's City of Heroes, Lineage 2, Guild Wars. There's tons of different MMORPGs now. World of Warcraft is the best. I still play that, and it's a lot of fun. So, but back in the day, you know, early 90s, it was all about Neverwinter Nights on AOL and Shadow of Eusebius on the Sierra Network. Those were the big games back when I was growing up, and then moving into Meridian 59 and Ultima Online, and then eventually EverQuest. So you can still feel, you know, you can still get some of that if you want to go back, some of that old school feel. You know, you can still play some of those older games. Like there's a website, eusebius.org, which they're actually working on being able to, you know, reverse engineer the game so you can play it online with people. I've actually been able to, you can go in and sign up for an account and go in and chat in the original style chat room before you would join into the game, that you can, you know, where you could chat with people and stuff. And so they have some stuff working like that. But, you know, about the oldest old school that you can get into is probably like Meridian 59. They still have that going. You can still play that and get into that. And obviously Ultima Online. And even playing EverQuest now for me feels old school. It was a lot harder. The older original MMORPGs were a lot tougher than the current games. So, also MUDs. You know, if you were big into MUDs, growing up, you know, you can still play them. The MUD that you played probably still exists, or, there's something like it. You know, I would definitely check out MUDs and play those. And Batmud, like I said, is a really good one. You can definitely check out that. And there's all kinds of different MUDs available. That's once again, that's mudconnect.com, which has a lot of listings of games. So that's about it. There for today's show, I just kind of wanted to cover some of the original MMORPGs. A couple of topics, or a couple of little items, nuggets I wanted to talk about. This summer is going by very fast, but there seems like there's a lot of different conventions going on. And honestly, I don't know about a lot of the vintage or retro computing conventions, and I know that there's some out there, but if there's any of them that you guys can think of, just email me at podcast@boringbeigebox.com, or just go to our website, boringbeigebox.com, and go to the forums, and there's a subject or an area called conventions, that just post some information about conventions. I know that there is one coming up. If you live in the Midwest area, on July 15th, Saturday, July 15th, that's not this weekend, but next weekend, there is a vintage computer festival put on by vintage.org, and they have various vintage computer festivals throughout the year in California and on the East Coast. But this is the second annual vintage computer festival in West Lafayette, Indiana, at the Purdue University campus, which is the largest, you know, one of the largest colleges in the country. But if you don't know about Purdue University, it's where the computer science idea, or the computer science department in a college, started in the early 60s. So Purdue University in West Lafayette, Indiana, it's about 2 hours south of Chicago. Just go to vintage.org and check it out. I don't know if I'm going or not. It doesn't look like there's a lot of interest in it yet. There's a couple of exhibits that people are doing. I don't know if I'm going to go or not. I've got to wait and see, you know, what the hype is, or you know, if there's anyone really going and stuff. So if I do, I would like to do an exhibit where I have a bunch of systems set up and, you know, my advertise Boring Beige Box, the podcast, and give away CDs of all the past episodes. But I'm not sure yet if I'm going to – I'm still thinking about it. So anyway, if you're in the Midwest area, you definitely check it out, July 15th. I'm going to try to go, and if I do, we can hang out and talk about old times. So anyway, so that's coming up. If there's any other conventions, like I said, just post on the forums and let me know. I know that in Indianapolis, Gen Con is coming up, I think in August. That's a great gaming convention, like role-play gaming, Magic the Gathering, stuff like that, if you're into that stuff. That's coming up in August. Also, I'm excited about this. Like I said before, I'm a big Star Trek fan. This year is the 40th anniversary of Star Trek, and in Chicago at the Rosemont, it used to be called Rosemont Theater. It might be the Allstate Arena or something like that now. I forget the name of it. But in Rosemont area near the airport, near the O'Hare Airport, the 40th anniversary convention is this September. And I know they're going to have all the big name stars there, and it's going to be really incredible. Now, the main Las Vegas Star Trek convention is in August. And that is also 40th anniversary. That's really big. Creation Entertainment puts those on. So I think you can go to their website, creationent.com, to check that out. Anyway, that's not retro computing related, but I know that probably some of you are Star Trek fans out there, so I thought you might like that. Well, that about does it for this week's show. Like I said, I'm hopefully going to be getting back on track, and we should have another show this coming weekend. But otherwise, that's it. So thanks so much for listening, and have a great holiday and a great week. Thanks. Take care. Bye-bye.